Hello and welcome once again to the verse by verse Bible teaching of the Washing Word. We encourage you to come by the Washing Word. That's a hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center. It's there that you can listen to these messages and get your car washed. We play all the messages from this week on a loop during open business hours. You can just tune to 107.1 and hear them. You can go to our website at washingword.com to find out information about this ministry and also to listen to or download all these messages. And also you can stay here on WMCH 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday and listen to verse by verse Bible teaching. We are picking it up in John chapter 10 where we left off, and Jesus has just put forth this dividing line, and he's basically trying to separate true believers from believers who aren't taking things that seriously. But more importantly than that, he's trying to separate the false teachers. And there are good-hearted Christians out there who have fallen victim to false teachers. If you are a devout follower of Joel Osteen, you are being fed so much imbalance that you are not being prepared for what God truly wanted you to be prepared for. The Word of God is supposed to be taught in fullness and in its entirety, leaving nothing out. Because when you don't leave anything out of God's Word, you create division. You create offensiveness in the church. You create dissension. You create all these things in an effort, or I should say as a result, of weeding out those who God is trying to find out who his true disciples are. The Lord doesn't need an army of half-hearted warriors to stand up for truth. He needs a small remnant of true believers who are not afraid to speak the hard truths to their congregations, not afraid to speak the controversial subjects to their friends and to their family. Who are you today? Are you a warrior for Christ? Do you have an opportunity to speak truth into someone's life, but you alter it and you water it down and you leave some out and you add some to it just for the sake of having things not be disrupted? That isn't what Jesus did, and that's not what he calls us to do. And so as he draws these dividing lines, he's forcing people to make a decision. Because if you could sit in a church for years and years and years and never be challenged to make a decision or never be challenged in your spirituality, then I assure you, you're sitting in under a teaching that is inspired by falsehood. It is inspired and I hate to say the Antichrist spirit, but anything that isn't speaking the fullness of Jesus Christ and all of God's word, well, there's only one other option. You're either all for God or you're not for God at all. And so verse 24, we pick it up where we left off, and Jesus says, the Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracle I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And again, the Jews picked up the stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of the miracles," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, merely a man, claim to be God." I love when they say in the opening scripture, verse 24, "Just tell us plainly, are you the Christ?" And you can just hear Jesus saying, they're saying, "Tell me the truth." And Jesus, that famous quote, "You can't handle the truth." But the truth is, and he gets it, he lays it to them, whether they can handle it or not. See, that's the difference between so many pastors and leaders out there today compared to what they should be. Even though Jesus knew they couldn't handle the truth, he still spoke the truth. But Pastor, that is a word of encouragement or rebuke to you today. Just because your flock can't handle whatever verse comes next in the section of scripture you're in, just because they may not be able to handle that truth doesn't mean you shouldn't give it to them. You can't handle the truth, Jesus says, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. You are not of this flock. And of course, it offended them. And it cut their prideful legs right out from under them. And when that happens to us, when the word of God offends us, or the word of God cuts us at the knees, so to speak, we have two choices we can make while we're down there on our knees. And the first one is we can realize our pride, and when God cuts us down through the power of his word, while we're there, while we're cut down at the knees, we can either pray, because we're there anyway, we're on our knees already, or when we get cut down, we can look around for stones that we can throw at them. Let me ask you a question today. What is your zeal for God? Honestly, if you were to honestly answer that question, how is your zeal for God right now? Probably just a little bit, isn't it? And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying you don't love God, or you only love him a little bit, or you only, you know, a little bit want to do his will. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your zeal, your on fire attitude towards him. And these guys used that zeal as an excuse to execute what was truly in their hearts. They had been looking for a way to rid themselves of this Jesus character for some time now. And when he made the statement, "I and the Father are one," well, that was just a perfect scapegoat. And so while they were cut down, they were looking for stones. And I think many times today we have the same tendencies. People who want nothing to do with Jesus, they're unable to deny the reality that his claims are true. I think deep down, they know what we're speaking is truth. But as soon as the preacher makes the news over some type of scandal, or a professed Christian displays hypocrisy, people are quick, especially unbelievers are quick, to point that out and to say that this whole Christian thing is a farce. Look at the way that people behave. They see people judging others or gossiping. They see how we fall and falter sometimes. And listen, the denial of Christ by unbelievers, if it is based on the behavior of believers alone, and I'm talking to you, unbeliever, if there's any of you out there listening, you're just using that as an excuse, a scapegoat, for denying what the Holy Spirit is actually tugging on in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sure, you can blame the failure of Christians and use that as an excuse not to answer the call of the Holy Spirit who is wooing you towards Christ. That is a perfectly legitimate excuse in your mind, but it doesn't take away that calling. It doesn't take away what God is doing inside of you right now. And you could use us who falter as an excuse. Or you can use the fact that you tried praying and God didn't answer your prayer. Or you can use the excuse that you tried reading the Bible but you didn't understand. You can use whatever excuse you want, but it doesn't take away the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the unctioning that God is doing somewhere deep down, and you may have pushed it down so deep that you can barely hear it, or maybe have extinguished it completely, but it's not over. There is a time for repentance, and today is the day of salvation, friends. If you are listening today and have yet to make that decision for Christ, please do not hesitate. But as much as unbelievers do this type of behavior, so do Christians. Rather than hearing a powerful truth from the Word of God and then changing to come under obedience to that Word, what do? We look for excuses not to be obedient. Or we look for problems in that church so we can have an excuse that helps us sleep at night so we can leave that church. they'll look for answers to leave the church simply because the Word of God has slapped them around so much. Well, I don't like what he said about this, about the country, or about politics, or I don't like the singing, or I don't like the way we stand, or the way we sit. I don't like the way we sing or stand. I don't like their stance on the rapture, or their whatever doctrine you want to enter in there. And so we use these excuses, and we use them so that we don't have to conform to the Word of God. And this is why it's so important that as pastors and teachers and preachers, we stand up there and we preach the whole counsel of God's Word, because it is in there that we create the stirring in the hearts. We can't let our people sit comfortably in a lukewarm atmosphere week in and week out and refuse to challenge them with the hard truths and the hard teachings that we find in God's Word. If you do that, if you are representing, creating, and maintaining a lukewarm flock, do I have to remind you what Jesus did with the lukewarm church in Revelation chapter 2? You know it. What does Jesus say? He says, because you are not hot and you are not cold, I am going to what? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And this is how we keep our church, our congregation, our listeners, our family, our children, our wives, our husbands. This is how we keep them from becoming lukewarm. We challenge them with the Word of God. And friends, when you get challenged by the Word of God, and if you start looking around for excuses to run away from it, you'll find one. I promise you that. But listen, life is too short to be petty. The world and its foundations are about to be shaken. There is no time to play church anymore. Hebrews 12:26 says, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Time is too short to be petty. It is too short for half-heartedness, and it is too short for mediocrity. It is too short for comfort zones, and it is too short for status quo. You see, people can only deny truth for so long, and then they have to find another excuse for that denial, another excuse for that disobedience and that disdain. Jesus flat out asked them, what about my miracles? And it is not the miracles we're going to kill you for, it's the blasphemy. Translation, we do not deny the miracles. That is, we don't deny the power or the results, but you are a mere man. How could you say you are God? Does anyone see a big hole in their defense? A mere man cannot be God, nor can a mere man do those kind of miracles. So you cannot deny one without denying the other, nor can you accept one without accepting the other. A house divided cannot stand. You are either for him or you are against him. You can't just take the good words of Christ without taking the divinity of Christ. And it's the same today. You know, there's an old Allman Brothers song, Jesus is just all right with me. And, you know, he may be just all right with you until he becomes the only way to heaven. And you hear those words that unless you turn your entire life over to Christ, that is the only way you're going to get to heaven. You're like, well, Jesus was fine until he made that claim. I was okay with Jesus until all of a sudden you're telling me that he's the only way to heaven. How could or how can Jesus be who he said that he is, and how can he do the things that he does or did? And how could he claim what he claimed, and yet 2,000 years later, he still has the same impact on people? And it goes back to that same question you and I are going to have to answer. Who do you say that I am? And friends, before it's too late, you need to make that decision. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Because he is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he will be the same when he poses that question to you. But if you wait too long, it'll be too late. And I pray that these verse-by-verse Bible teachings are causing a stir in your life. I hope you are uncomfortable with them, and I hope they don't please any tickled, itching ear out there. And with that said, I continue to ask you to come back, because listen, these words have life. They're not my words, they're his words. I invite you to come back tomorrow at 8:30 or go to the Wash and Word, get your car washed,
washandword.com. Have a blessed day.